Where does Scripture command infant baptism? Published by Arturo Hurtado on www.saintsedified.org on April 17, 2023. Where exactly does Scripture command the baptism of infants? Depending on who you ask, you might receive a whole crash course on covenant theology for free. I happen to take a more simple and direct approach when I have the privilege to answer this question. I point to two scripture passages, Matthew 28:19 and 20 and Ephesians 6:1-4. This isn't an article to argue for Presbyterian covenant theology or a case for infant baptism. It simply answers the question of how the Reformed and Presbyterian receive the command to baptize their children from Scripture. It makes the case that the command for infant baptism is conveyed through a basic and clear understanding of those two wonderful passages. Summary: the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19 and 20 not only provides the mandate to make disciples of all nations, but it also provides the means on how to make disciples. Disciple making requires two essential components: baptizing and ongoing instruction. Scripture instructs Christian parents to disciple their children in Ephesians 6:1-4. Therefore, to disciple children means to have them baptized and instructed in the faith. Quote, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Unquote. Matthew 28:19-20. Mark Dever, a Reformed Baptist pastor, in his book Discipling: How to Help Others Follow Jesus, notes that baptism and teaching are the means of disciple-making. Quote, "After telling the disciples to make disciples, he tells them how, through baptizing and teaching. Yes, the individual missionary or evangelist goes out into the world, into the office, into the school, into the neighborhood, whether on this side of the globe or the other. But the ministry of the ordinances and the ministry of teaching primarily occur through churches. Churches fulfill the Great Commission, and discipling is the work of churches." Unquote. Andreas J. Kostenberger in Believer's Baptism, Sign of the New Covenant in Christ, one of the most popular books opposing paedobaptism, explains how baptizing and teaching are essential components of disciple-making, especially when you consider the biblical Greek. Quote, "The image in mind here may be that of a victorious military general who assures his followers of his unlimited authority. On this basis, Jesus' disciples are to go and make disciples. The aorist participle, go, poriuthentes, modifies the aorist imperative, make disciples, Matthäus ate, as an auxiliary reinforcing the action of the main verb. Jesus' followers must go in order to make disciples. All the nations includes Israel. The two present participles, baptizing, baptizontes, and teaching, didaskontes, specify the manner in which disciples are to be made." Unquote. Our brother Kostenberger is not alone in this understanding of the original language. According to Daniel Wallace, a respected biblical Greek scholar, the participles used in Matthew 28:19-20 are called the participle of means. In his book Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics, An Exegetical Syntax of the New Testament, Wallace explains the function of these participles in the context of the Great Commission. Quote, "Finally, the other two participles, baptizontes, didaskontes, should not be taken at attendant circumstances. First, they do not fit the normal pattern for attendant circumstance participles. They are present tense and follow the main verb. And second, they obviously make good sense of participles of means, i.e. buoi. The means by which the disciples were to make disciples was to baptize and then teach." Unquote. As a Presbyterian, I fully agree with my brothers who I quoted above. This understanding of the Great Commission is not exclusive to Presbyterianism. Matthew 28:19-20 not only provides a clear mandate to make disciples, but also provides the essential elements of disciple-making, namely baptizing and teaching. So, how does this relate to infant baptism? For the Reformed, the Great Commission has everything to do with the command to baptize children of believers. In fact, Francis Turretin believes this passage provides basis for infant baptism, although he takes a different approach to arrive to the same conclusion. If being a disciple requires being baptized and instructed, what does this mean about discipling our children? Are Christian parents commanded to disciple their children? Quote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Unquote. Ephesians 6, 1-4. Michael Lawrence, a Baptist pastor and contributor to ninemarks.org, a Baptist organization, in his review of Vadi Bokham's Family-Driven Faith, writes that prior to, quote, Sunday schools, youth pastors, and the discovery of the homogeneous unit principle, parents were understood to be the primary evangelists and disciplers of their children, unquote. He also writes the following, quote, "The New Testament is no less straightforward. Paul commands fathers to bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. One of the qualifications for serving as an elder in a local church is that a man has managed his family well, including raising children who are faithful and not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient," was Timothy 3, 4, and 5, Titus 1, 6. In contrast to Eli, Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, are commended as models of a sincere faith that now lives in Timothy also. 2 Timothy 1:5. Unquote. We will cover what Vadi Bokham wrote in his book in just a minute. First, I think it's interesting for Lawrence to mention Timothy's mother and grandmother after making the case that we ought to disciple our children. Let's take a quick look at what Paul Further mentions about Timothy's upbringing. Quote, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Unquote. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. This, in fact, touches on how early we ought to disciple our children. Paul recognizes Timothy's mother and grandmother's efforts in teaching the scriptures to Timothy from childhood. What's interesting about this passage is that the word used for childhood is always referenced to unborn babes, infants, and small children. Paul could have used other words like technon, Strong's G5043, or paideon, Strong's G3813, which are more generic Greek terms that can refer to a child of any age, young or older. But the phrase brephos, Strong's G1025, appears to be reserved for unborn babes, infants, and small children in the New Testament scriptures. It's pretty clear that Paul credits Timothy's mother and grandmother for him having, quote, known the sacred writings, unquote, so early in his life, as most translators have used childhood or infancy for this passage. The book that our brother Michael Lawrence reviewed is worth reading. In Family-Driven Faith, Vadi Bokham references Ephesians 6, 2, and 3 and makes the case in true Vadi fashion, incredibly clear about discipling children. Quote, "This is the linchpin in every argument I have made or will make in this book. God has designed your family, not the youth group, not the children's ministry, not the Christian school, but your family as the principal discipling agent in your children's lives. The most important job you have as a parent is to train and disciple your children," unquote. Once again, this is not exclusive to Presbyterianism. This is something that prominent Reformed Baptist teachers can stand shoulder to shoulder with us, Reformed and Presbyterian. Are Christian parents commanded to disciple their children from infancy? The answer is a resounding yes. The good and necessary conclusion. The teachings of our Lord left no room for ambiguity or doubt. To make disciples is to baptize and instruct. The teachings of the Apostle Paul were also crystal clear. It is the duty of Christian parents to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In other words, the overall biblical good mandate for Christian parents is to disciple their children from infancy, which inevitably, necessarily, means to baptize and instruct them. The command to disciple our children is understood as a command to baptize and instruct our children. In this article, I have not argued for infant baptism by pointing to the continuity of the covenants, the household principle we see in Old and New Testaments. the essential properties of the covenant of grace that include children, or by pointing out 1689 federalism inconsistencies. Those are far greater arguments. The purpose of this article is to briefly demonstrate how the Reformed and Presbyterian receive the command to baptize their children. My hope is that this short response will give Baptist brothers and sisters a better understanding of this Reformed practice. The command to baptize children of covenant members is not from mere tradition that has been blindly accepted by the Reformed and Presbyterian. It should not be seen as a golden calf or Catholic hangover that the Reformers couldn't shake off. Instead, it is a beautiful and biblical command that is traced back to the words of Christ and apostolic teaching. This is how the command of infant baptism is received and understood from Scripture.
Thank you for listening to this audio blog. If you want to check out more content like this, visit the Saints Edified website at www.saintsedified.org. You can also subscribe and follow this ministry on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and other social media platforms. Goodbye for now. Soli Deo Gloria.